ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is the subject of today's verse and song. The song we're going to read is based on Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, verse number, which number? Verse number 8, is it? No, verse number 7. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitopya Vidya Pito Patapta Rasanasya Nagochikanu. Kindvadarad Anudinam Kalusai Vajushta Svadvi Kamad Bhavati Tadgada Mulaham Tri. This means that naturally the holy name of Krishna is very sweet, but we don't find it to be sweet. This is due to our diseased condition. The example is given of a person suffering from jaundice. He doesn't find the taste of sugar candy sweet. On the contrary, if he's given sugar candy to taste, he finds it very bitter. The nature of sugar is sweet, but because of his disease, he finds it to taste very bitter. The cure for jaundice is to take sugar candy. Go on sucking sugar candy. The result will be that gradually the diseased person finds the taste to become sweeter. As he gets cured, he finds sweeter taste. And when he's fully cured, when he's back in his natural position, then he tastes the sugar as it should be, sweet. So this is a very important instruction for all of us. So many times we get the question, well, what to do? I don't feel any taste for the holy names. The question may come in various ways, but basically this question is often asked. And the answer is, go on chanting. Go on chanting. The cure is, the cure for offensive chanting is to go on chanting, trying to become inoffensive. Therefore, the chanting should be conducted under proper guidance. There are many people in India who chant Hare Krishna and whose spiritual advancement is practically zero, because they're getting the wrong philosophy, the wrong idea. To become purified by chanting Hare Krishna, we have to know what the 10 offenses are and avoid them. Becoming purified means becoming free from these 10 offenses. There are 3 stages of chanting. Offensive chanting, nama parāga. Then there is the clearing stage, nama bhāsh. And the pure chanting of the holy name, that is called shuddhanam, that means free from all offenses. Now, the name of Krishna is always pure. There is no question of the name being pure or impure. The name is always pure because the name is Krishna and he is always pure. But what is our attitude in chanting? According to that, Krishna will manifest himself more or less. When we chant purely, then Krishna will dance on our tongue in the form of the holy name. And if we chant with all offenses, then Krishna, he may not manifest himself in that name at all. Just like deity worship. Some people think that deity worship is something very cheap and easy. You just go to Vrindavan and buy some deities from the shop, or you buy them from the shop in Russia, and you put them in your home and you start to wave some incense at them. This is not deity worship. Deity worship means that the deities, Krishna, will be invited to come by his pure devotee. Krishna doesn't come just for anybody. So we may think, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But Krishna, he may not want to be on your tongue at all. That is described by Jagadananda Pandit in his Prem Vibhorta, one book. Ashadu Sange Bhai, Krishna Nam Nahi Hai. What is that? Namaka Bahire Bhate Tabu Nam Tabu Nai. He says that if you, Ashadu Sange, if you are chanting Hare Krishna, but not in the association of proper devotees, not under proper guidance, that's not chanting Hare Krishna. The syllables may be there. That is not transcendental sound vibration. I have seen many, many people chanting, especially in Bengal, and actually it's disgusting. Chanting for money. Professional kirtan groups. Just like in the Western countries, they have professional rock groups that go from place to place to entertain people. So in India, they have professional, especially in Bengal, Orissa, different places, they have professional kirtan groups. Now, of course, in India, still, they always have some kind of religious overtone for everything. But they want to, instead of having their music entertainment and having it as entertainment, they want to mix it up with some religious idea. Entertainment? I don't know in Russian either. Sorry. Entertainment means sports, TV. So it becomes farcical. Nonsense. The people will be singing, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said this kind of singing, they're not singing Hare Krishna, they're singing money, money. becomes a big music, a big theatrical performance. Who can play the mridanga and dance as if they're in ecstasy and fall on the ground in artificial ecstasy? Complete nonsense, disgusting. They make a big show of being advanced, of being ecstatic devotees. They'll chant any nonsense thing you pay them to chant. If you tell them, if some people have made up some bogus mantra, if you tell them to chant that, they'll chant. Then there's another, anyway, there's so many ridiculous things. You get, there's followers of this rascal, so-called Sai Baba. They also chant Hare Krishna. Their so-called chanting of Hare Krishna is taking them to hell. Because they're thinking Krishna means this rascal with so much hair on his head. Hair, this is, this thing is called hair. So, therefore, we have to be free from offenses means we have to know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If we see what are these offenses, they're all based on improper understanding of Krishna consciousness. It's all to do with our attitude in chanting. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to Prabhupada. And so on, these offenses. To think that demigods are as good as Krishna. To disobey the orders of the spiritual master. To minimize the importance of the scriptures. So these are not things which are actually done at the time of chanting, mostly. But it's all to do with one's attitude and understanding of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, chanting Hare Krishna has to be done under proper guidance. So that we understand properly the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Then our chanting will have effect. Then we can gradually get free from offenses. But if we're fixed in offensiveness by having wrong idea, then there's no hope of becoming purified by chanting. Therefore, there's a lot of difference between chanting within this Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya and chanting in some Mayavadi or Sahajiya group. If one is a Mayavadi or a Sahajiya, he may go on chanting many, many lifetimes. He won't get the result of love of God. He will remain spiritually jaundiced forever. So the real thing is we have to take guidance from the expert spiritual master, who is like a doctor. The doctor diagnoses the disease and gives the medicine according to the need of the patient. A bogus doctor, he may appear like a good doctor to those who don't know. But if he gives the wrong medicine, or he gives the medicine in the wrong way, then you won't get the proper effect. It's very interesting, this lack of Krishna consciousness is compared to jaundice disease. Has anyone ever had jaundice? In this lifetime, they've been so unfortunate. It's not very common in Russia. No, there's one devotee, I was at Atri Muni, he had jaundice. I had jaundice. Hepatitis, a little bit different. Anyway, one symptom of jaundice is that you feel extremely weak. You can't do anything. You can't do anything, your mind becomes affected because it's a disease of the liver. The liver affects the mind. And you have no taste for anything. You don't want to eat any food or anything. Very diseased condition. And in jaundice, if you see everything yellow. So this is similar to our whole material condition. When we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we lose all our life. Of course, we may have some life from the mode of passion, but the life of the soul remains covered. It's like you see people, they may be very active in the mode of passion. But if you see their eyes, you can see that inside they're dead, they're dull. Because the basic condition of this material world is ignorance. That will be explained in this song. So in material life, we're spiritually dead. And just like a person with jaundice sees everything yellow, so a person in material consciousness sees everything through his materialistic concept of life, bodily concept of life. Once a devotee asked Prabhupada, when you see things, what do you see? Just like if you see this tree, what do you see? Because they might have thought that Prabhupada, as a pure devotee, was seeing all kinds of kaleidoscopic apparitions. Can you translate that? Kaleidoscope? Yeah. Kaleidoscopic apparitions means hallucinations. Prabhupada explained, when I see a tree, I see this is Krishna's tree. So a pure devotee sees, and we see, and in many ways it's the same, but a pure devotee sees clearly. He doesn't see with jaundiced eyes. So in the material concept of life, we see everything but with wrong understanding. We think everything here is meant for my enjoyment. This is disease. This is ignorance. If we just examine, it must be wrong. Because even though I desire to, I cannot possibly enjoy this material world. We want to enjoy, we want to control, we want to dominate, but realistically speaking, we cannot. No. We may do to a very limited extent. That little bit of control and enjoyment we get, that is what keeps us. That's Maya's gift to keep us forever under her control. I come home, I shout at my wife, I beat the dog, and I think, ha, just see, I'm the big guy in this house. All day at the factory, people have been shouting at him and telling he's of nonsense and beating him. He's just thinking, when I go home, I'll beat my wife and I'll show that I'm actually a big guy. So in this way, that little feeling of controlling satisfies the foolish materialist. And he goes home, he beats the wife, he beats the dog, and the dog has to run out on the street and bark at somebody just to show that actually I'm in control. This is called Maya. What is not? Maya means that which is not. So we are not the controllers, we are not the enjoyers. And if we think we are, then we are in Maya. So a pure devotee sees, but he doesn't see the world as a place for his enjoyment, or a place for him to control. But he sees everything belongs to Krishna. I am a servant of Krishna, and I am here in this world to serve Krishna. It's just change of consciousness, that's all. It's not a very difficult thing to understand. Instead of thinking that I am this body and I'm meant to enjoy it, we think that I'm eternal spirit soul, servant of Krishna, and I'm meant to serve Krishna. But because we have been diseased for such a long time, it may take a little time to adjust our consciousness. Just like this jaundice disease is very difficult to get rid of. It takes a long time, months. At least in my case, I think. In most cases, it takes a long time to get rid of. You have to be very careful in your diet, very careful not to overstrain yourself. Alright, never mind. Then you're very carefully following everything. Then gradually, you feel your strength reviving. Now, one thing about jaundice is that after some time you may feel yourself, oh, now I'm very strong and healthy. When you feel like that, you have to be very careful. Because there's a tendency to think, well, now I'm healthy, I can do whatever I like. In jaundice, you have to be very careful. You can't eat any oil, or ghee, or spices, or anything like that. So if you think you're healthy, and now you can eat whatever you like, you may again get sick. So even when you think you're becoming healthy, you have to act exactly under the direction of the expert doctor. I had this experience. After 3 months of jaundice, I was feeling quite healthy, and a feast had been cooked. So the devotees told me, come on, why don't you eat some? You're quite healthy now, you're quite active. So I don't think you have to be so careful now. Come, take a little. You have to stop eating this boiled food sometime. Just take a little. So I took 2 puris and a little sabji. I got a heavy fever, and another 3 months out on the verge. How I wasted my life. Thinking I was healthy when I wasn't, and then trying to do something which I shouldn't do, I got worse results. So in the same way, we may be advancing in devotional service, but if we think, well, now I don't have to follow the rules and regulations, we may be in a lot of trouble. There does come a point where one doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations because he is completely free from the material disease. But if we haven't reached that point, and we think we have, and therefore we stop following the rules and regulations, then we're going to get very sick. It means we're going to fall down from the proper platform of spiritual life. Therefore, the patient always has to act under the guidance of the expert doctor. The patient cannot become his own doctor. He cannot analyze his own disease. He must act under the direction of the doctor. So in the same way, a devotee has to act under the guidance of the spiritual master. If he thinks, well, now I'm more advanced, I don't need to follow directions of the spiritual master, then he is guaranteed candidate for falling down. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining. Hari hey, O my dear Lord, Tomare bhuliya abidya pirai, pirito rasana moa. Forgetting you, he says, abidya pirai, being oppressed by ignorance, my tongue has become, same word, has become contaminated, oppressed, tortured, he says. Forgetting you, I have become oppressed by ignorance, and thus my tongue has become tortured. Tortured means, Head cut up means upset stomach. Avidya means ignorance. Vidya means knowledge. So we have the word Ved. Ved means knowledge. Ved, Vidya. Avidya means lack of knowledge or ignorance. So what does knowledge mean? Knowledge means to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His eternal servant. When we forget that, then all our problems begin. This material world is simply full of problems. If you look in the newspaper, you'll find problem, 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 and more problems. You don't have to look in the newspaper, you can just look anywhere, everywhere you look. Economic problem, social problem, crime problem. Everyone has the problem, how to get food, how to stay healthy, in more months, how to stay warm. In a very hot climate, the problem may be how to stay cool. There are so many problems, and we're trying to find a solution to the problems. Modern civilization has increased the problems. Just like we have pollution problem. There was no pollution problem previously. But they invented the motor car to solve the problem of having to walk from one place to another.
Of course, walking from one place to another isn't really a problem, because you can, by God's arrangement, in a village community, everything for human sustenance can be produced, so you don't have to go anywhere. But someone had the brilliant idea to build motor cars, and they created the pollution problem, and they created the need to go to Siberia and take oil out of the ground, or the need to go into the middle of the sea and dive under the sea and bring oil from under the sea. So we have a pollution problem. One of many problems. Too much traffic, that's another problem. Previously that was not there in Russia. Now it's certainly there in Moscow. And in course of time, it will come through Murmansk also. Traffic jams. So they engage some scientists to investigate how to control the pollution problem. And actually many years ago, they found how you can run cars by solar energy or by potato alcohol energy, which is much less polluting. But because there are certain big businessmen who have making billions of dollars by selling oil, therefore they want to keep the oil, they want to keep the cars running on petrol, so we have to keep the pollution problem. So a few people who are already much too rich can become more rich. Some people who are already much too rich, they'll become even more rich. And in the meantime, you can breathe in polluted air. This is called progress. That there are already enough problems in material life. That if we increase the problems, then we call it progress. And when we so-called solve some problem, we engage our scientists to solve some problem, then we think, oh, we are making scientific progress. Yes, there is a problem. The Americans are sitting on the other side of Siberia, and we don't like them. The Americans are sitting on the other side of Siberia, across the Bering Strait. The Americans are in America, and we don't like them, and they don't like us. So to solve the problem, we will build nuclear missiles. So if the Americans go like this, we'll send a few nuclear missiles. The only problem is that the Americans have also got nuclear missiles. And they're thinking that if the Russians go like this, we'll send a few nuclear missiles. So we have a nice solution to all our problems. I drop a few bombs on you, you drop a few bombs on me. And the politicians will be in their bunkers 200 meters below the earth. And everyone else will be filling up Yamaraj's cot. So they're not decreasing the problems, only they've come to the point of madness. And actually, people are becoming more and more insane. That's why in America, psychiatrists, they get a good salary, because there's a great demand for psychiatrists, because everybody feels mentally imbalanced. In England, 20% of the population, sometime in their life, they spend in a mental hospital. And they don't put you inside the mental hospital unless you're really bad. So great progress of society is simply driving everyone mad. Because they're simply increasing problems, increasing problems, increasing problems. But they don't know what is the solution to all the problems. On the material platform, so many problems can be solved just by stopping this insane endeavor to build more progress, more pollute the earth more. But even that, to live simply, is not the solution to all our problems. Although it would certainly help us to be more introspective and think more clearly. To think more introspectively and think clearly. But the real solution to our problems, we have to find out what is the root cause of all the problems. This is like the difference between Ayurvedic medicine and modern Western medicine. Modern Western medicine treats the symptoms. Ayurveda treats the cause. Just like if you have boils. That's another disease I had plenty of experience with. So if you go to an allopathic doctor, he'll give you antibiotics, which break up all the poisons in the blood. It breaks them up and disperses them all throughout the body. Or it breaks them up, sorry, and then the antibiotic doesn't disperse them, but naturally they disperse throughout the body. And the antibiotic also destroys the immune system of the body. So you get rid of your boil very nicely. Then after a short time, you get more boils. Or the disease manifests in another way, because your body is full of poisons. But an Ayurvedic doctor will see, oh, why is he getting boils? Because the body is full of poisons. The blood is impure. Why is the blood impure? Because the digestive system is malfunctioning. Why is the digestive system malfunctioning? There's an imbalance in the whole system caused by imperfect mastication of the food. He's not chewing enough. He's simply eating this, not chewing. He's eating the wrong kind of foods, too rich food. He's not eating at regular times. He just eats all different times. So the Ayurvedic doctor sees the root cause and treats that. It may take a little time to cure, because it means a complete modification of the whole system, complete adjustment of the whole system. But it will be an effective and lasting cure. Of course, I'm just giving an example, the body, Sharira Vyadi Mandiram, the body is the temple of diseases. But just I'm giving an example how the Ayurvedic doctor will treat a disease at its root. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness offers a solution to the problems by going to the root, not simply a superficial adjustment. The root of all our problems is avidya, ignorance, because we don't know what is our real position, what is our real duty, what we're meant to do. That ignorance means we have forgotten Krishna. Krishna bhuli se jeev anadi bahir mukh, tev maya tare deya shangshara duk. Forgetting Krishna, Krishna bhuli, forgetting Krshna, we become inimical to Krishna. Then we become caught up in ignorance and we experience the sufferings given to us by the external energy. And pirito rasana mo. Rasana, this is one word for the tongue. The tongue tastes different rasas, different tastes. There is jara ras and adi ras. Jara ras means material taste, and adi ras means original taste. The relationship is Krishna. So the tongue, its business is to taste. We want to taste nectar, but we are tasting poison. Material life means poison. And Krishna, the name of Krishna is just like nectar. That is described here. Krishna nama shudha. Shudha means nectar. Shudha. As shudha means pure, and shudha means nectar. Actually, it's sudha, but in Bengali, it comes to shudha. Anyway. So another word, well-known word for nectar is amrita. So chanting Hare Krishna means pratipadam puranamrita svadanam. At every step, tasting the nectar of Krishna's holy name. So that is the, when we are pure devotees, then we experience the nectar of Krishna's holy name. But our present position is Krishna nama sudha bhalo nahi lage vishoya sukhete bhava. Because we don't like the taste of Krishna's holy name, therefore we become absorbed in so-called material happiness. Just like the person diseased with jaundice does not like the taste, the sweet taste of sugar candy. So the solution is, go on taking the sugar candy. Go on taking the holy name of Krishna. Chito darpana marjanam. The first effect of chanting Hare Krishna is the heart becomes clear, clean. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Then the blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. Shriya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavad vujivanam. This is highly poetic language, but basically means that the auspicious moon of knowledge arises within our heart. In other words, by chanting Hare Krishna, first of all the heart becomes clean. Then the blazing fire of material existence becomes extinguished. All our anxieties go away. Then knowledge arises from chanting. The root cause of our problems are ignorance, but this chanting brings the knowledge into our hearts, real knowledge. Then anandam vidhi vardhanam. Then we begin to taste, we begin to experience happiness, real happiness. The ocean of happiness of Krishna consciousness is unlimited. But that ocean is also increasing as we go on chanting and chanting. And pratipadam purinamrita svadhanam. At every step we taste the nectar of Krishna's holy name. Saravatna snapanam. Our whole being, our whole consciousness is totally cleansed. Therefore, param vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. All glories to the Sankirtan of Krishna's holy name. So this process of purification is described also here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How does it work? Pratidin jadi ador koriya srinam kirtan kori. If I every day with respect and faith, if I chant those names, shitapal jeno nashi roga mool, Krame Shadu Hoi Hari. They're just like sugar candy destroys the disease at its root and gradually becomes sweet tasting. So same thing with chanting of Hare Krishna. So here it said Pratidin, every day this regulation is given, minimum 16 rounds every day, to make some fixed up regulation. Because we are diseased. Sometimes people say, well, why don't we just chant as we feel like? Because if we chant as we feel like, then we won't chant at all. Oh, so Guru told me to chant Hare Krishna as much as I like. All right, Hare Krishna, finished. We have no taste, therefore we have to take the medicine according to the doctor's order. If you see a good doctor, he's a very strict person. He says, you must take this medicine, he'll give you this terrible, horrible flavored medicine. You must take this medicine without fail. Doctor who's a good doctor, who cares for his patient, will be very strong with them. And if he meets them on the street, he'll say, "Are you taking the medicine?" That is a good doctor. He's not interested just in taking the money. He wants to see the patient cured. So every day we have to chant, even if we don't feel like it. Sometimes due to Maya, we may not feel like chanting. Practically not sometimes, practically all the time. But still we have to chant. And Adora Kariya. We should remember what we are chanting. We are chanting the name of Krishna. Krishna is so kind, he has come in the form of the holy name to save us. So we should chant very carefully. Always remember that this name is Krishna. Jinam Shri Krishna Bhajanishta Kari. The Bengali saying is there. This name, that is Krishna. Therefore we should chant with great faith and love. Durdaiva Amar Shri Nami Ador Nahoilo Doyamar. O my dear merciful Lord. Need some water?
No.
Due to my bad luck or bad karma, because I have no pious activities, because I'm simply offensive, therefore I didn't chant that your name very properly, with love and faith. Dosha aparada amar durdaiva kemane hoibe khoi. Says, the 10 offenses, I'm full of them due to my bad past. How will they be diminished, destroyed? So he's asking the question and he's giving the answer. Anudin jena, day after day, tava nama gai kramete kripai tava. Aparada jabe name ruchi hobe, asha debo namasha. Says that, day after day, going on chanting, gradually, by your mercy, the offenses will go, then I will get a taste for the holy names. Then I will taste the nectar or the medicinal nectar of that holy name. So this faith we have to have, that Krishna will save us if we stick to chanting his holy name. Go on chanting. Don't give up this chanting. Don't go back to chanting some nonsense thing. In material life, everyone is misusing their tongue to talk nonsense. Let us use our tongues to chant the names of Krishna and become purified. Purification means we have the opportunity to become so much purified that we can go on chanting eternally. Our aim is we will enter into the eternal Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic kirtan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant, he would forget the world around him. He would jump high and fall on the ground. His body would shiver and his hairs would stand on end. Sometimes he could not pronounce the words properly and some choking sound would come in his throat due to ecstasy. Tears would come from his eyes just like syringe. And devotees around him would become wet so much. So let us go on chanting and join that Sankirtan party. Pray to Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please accept me as your son. So you chant Hare Krishna now and I'll come after 5 minutes. I have one problem I have to do. Nothing in this world but Krishna means nothing is different from Krishna. Everything is produced from Krishna. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Mayata Tamidam Sarvam Jagad Avyakta Muritina Atsthani Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshva Vastidaha. Krishna explains that by me in my Avyakta Murti, unmanifested form, this whole universe is pervading. Everything is within me, still I am not within it. So everything is non-different from Krishna being Krishna's energy. Right. And nothing is acting independently of Krishna. Every atom Krishna is within and is directing its movements. So in that sense everything is Krishna. Although Krishna, his own personal form, that is also different. Different and non-different. Goloka eva nivasati akhila atma bhuto. Krishna is living in Golok Vrindavan, he's also in every living being's heart. Now, another way of answering this question is to say, there's nothing in this world but Krishna or the chanting of Hare Krishna. It means that everything except Krishna consciousness is useless. What was the second part of the question?
From sound.
Oh, from sound everything manifests. Yes, in this material world, all the elements are generated from sound. Prabhupada quoted that from the Bible, that in Genesis, in the beginning of the Bible, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you know, the older people, they know the Bible. The younger people, they know Michael Jackson's songs. So everything, see, the beginning of the Bible is also saying that the name of God is the same as God. So if we see in the Bhagavatam also, it's described how everything is manifested, first of all, from sound. From the subtle, becomes manifested the gross. How it works exactly, well, if you get some physicists, they might be able to explain. Because physicists have analyzed that everything is ultimately energy. According to physicists, there's nothing really, there's no real solid. Everything's moving all the time because the atoms and the subatomic particles that make up everything are always moving. So according to the physicists, the world which we live in, all the matter, it's simply moving energy. And that, of course, physics had also studied very subtle layers of energy. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it's described that from sound, matter is manifest. In the beginning there is sound. Arjago, Shabda, Sparsha, you see the five elements, they correspond to five different, they correspond to five levels of, there's sound, sight, five levels of subtle perception. So one after all, they're all manifest. When the sound is manifest, ether, and like this, then ether gives rise to the next subtle manifestation of earth, water, fire, air, ether. Air, next is air. So air is manifest from what? Does anyone know? I never learned these things. Anyway, it's a technical subject. Exactly how it works, Krishna knows. Maybe if our scientists from the Bhaktivedanta Institute study, they may be able to explain. Exactly how it works is not described in the Bhagavatam. It simply says, it's like this. So I'm not a scientist either in the material sense or in even studying Vedic science. I'm not a scientist. How does it work? That is explained briefly in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya dhyakshena prakriti. This material nature is working under my direction. Suyate sacharacharam hetinanena kuntaya jagadviparivartitaya. All the different manifestations, moving, non-moving, caused, all the items which are caused, the cause of other things, everything is going on under Krishna's direction. We see that in the Bhagavatam stated that Lord Brahma heard the sound, tappa. And taking inspiration from this sound, he meditated. And by his meditation, he was inspired within the heart by the Lord how to manifest the whole cosmos. So we see that same principle works in our day-to-day life also. That first there is sound, and then from that sound, so many things manifest. Yes. Just like Prabhupada manifested this whole Krishna consciousness movement by speaking. He convinced us to act in such a way that we become Krishna conscious. So someone tells someone, this is how you cook a chapati. So by the sound, by instruction, by the idea is conveyed by the sound, by the speaking, and that can be manifest into a gross form. So that sound means conveying the idea. And based upon that instruction, we can do so many different things. This whole material world is the actually, it's the idea of the conditioned souls, but it's given shape by Mahavishnu. It's given, the material world is to fulfill the desire of the conditioned souls. How it is set up in its fantastic complexity, that is going on, that design, the idea is given by God. This material world is just like the dream of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is sleeping and the universes are coming up in his body. So then again he gives the idea to Brahma, you create like this, and Brahma creates. So that's on one level, and on another level, matter is actually manifested from sound, is transformed. One substance is transformed into the energy sound is transformed into substance. Again, exactly how it works, I don't know. According to modern physics, theoretically you should be able to do it. They don't know how to do it, but they have the idea that energy can be transformed in different ways. Any other questions?
By finding the shelter of the spiritual master at the time of birth, how the spiritual master, if he goes with the disciples and brings him...
Wasn't this question asked yesterday? It was a little different.
He's asked, if the spiritual master comes at the moment of birth and goes with his disciples to the spiritual master, brings him.
Well, if we're in the consciousness to receive him, then the spiritual master is with us all the time, not only at the time of death.
How that also does our souls felt and fall in this world, and is it enough to run life to become purified and go there?
That is explained in this song. Tamare bhuliya, that is the forgetting Krishna. Cause of our coming to this material world is forgetting Krishna. And is one life enough to go back to Godhead? Yes. Let's all meet again in the spiritual world. In this world, we may not be able to meet each other so much. It's like there are so many devotees, nice devotees all over the world. We can't meet them all the time. We can meet them in the spiritual world. It means we can meet them at the Mayapur festival, because Mayapur is the spiritual world. And we can also meet them in Golok Vrindavan, and then we can have a big kirtan, which will go on for a long time, eternally. And you may not get so much pain in your legs. And even if you do, then there's no such major problem in the spiritual world. That's also a source of pleasure. It's like sometimes Krishna gets tired, so that gives another opportunity for the devotees to serve him by massaging his legs. So everything's nice in the spiritual world. So let's go there.
She says that by meditation one goes, I think we start off from, goes to the Samanasa Grove, Sri Chinmoy says something.
Well, if you want to go to Sri Chinmoy, you're welcome. I want to go to Krishna.
Better, she said, to go to Krishna than to go to Sri Chinmoy.
Yeah, yeah, 100% correct.
She said she is attracted here more.
This is the real thing. They have this advertisement. Coke is the real thing. Coke, Coca-Cola. You say that in Russian also, the real thing? Coke is the real thing. Is it?
Yes.
Coca-Cola is not in Murmansk? How is it possible? It must be. They're very anxious to be everywhere in the world, to sell their garbage drink everywhere. It's a completely nonsense drink. Just some sugar and color and water and artificial flavor. And they make a whole advertising industry as if it's such a wonderful thing to drink. Coke is the real thing. It's the real what? Real nonsense. The real thing that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Vastavik Vastu, means the real thing. Vastavik Vastu is Krishna. Vastavik Vastu. And in India there are so many different ideas. Why Chinmoy? Why not this Moy and that Moy and another Moy? Actually, the real meaning of Chinmoy is one who has come to his real consciousness. That means Krishna consciousness. This so-called Chinmoy is not Chinmoy at all. He's Achin, Achit, Achinmoy. He's in material consciousness. He is interested in spreading Hinduism. He says that the Bhagavad Gita has to be modernized. It's nonsense. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that a child grows to be a young man, then an old man, then he dies, then he goes to another body. That was true when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. That was true when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 130 million years ago. And it's true now. And it will be true in 130 million years too. And that time, Chinmoy will still be in hell. And after some time, he'll come out and again say, we have to modernize Bhagavad Gita. So he'll come and speak this nonsense for a few days, and then go back to hell for another 130 million years. But the unfortunate thing is that people, they follow him to hell. So don't be cheated. Vastavik Vastu, real thing, is Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as Krishna presents it. And Chinmay presents Bhagavad Gita as Chinmay thinks. So, who knows better what is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita? Krishna or Chinmay? Why does he think he has any right to comment on it? Simply, Bhagavad Gita should be presented with explanation to explain the text. Not to change the meaning. If you have a different idea, write your own book. Don't misrepresent Bhagavad Gita. But they have to say this is Bhagavad Gita. Because everyone takes Bhagavad Gita seriously. If someone writes this is Chinmay Gita, no one gives a damn. No one cares. So they're taking Krishna's name, and then with Bhagavad Gita they want to kill Krishna. Bhagavad Gita minus Krishna. These people, they are called asuras or demons. They present themselves as holy men, but they're actually evil people. They call themselves saintly, but they are against Krishna. You should be very careful. Don't think that Krishna conscious movement is some kind of Hindu movement. That there's Chinmay and Sai Baba and this and TM and Hare Krishna is just another thing. You study these books and you can understand. But there's no concoction, no speculation here. This is exactly according to Shastra as given by God millions and millions of years ago. Therefore, we're able to present with no compromise. Because we know there's some substance here. Real thing is here, Krishna consciousness. Other people, they will say, all right, you follow me and you do whatever you like. You drink, you eat meat, whatever you like. They have to make such compromise because they cannot attract any serious followers because they have no substance. They have nothing for the soul. They just have some titillation, some entertainment for the mind. Just a cheating process. Therefore, people who want to be cheated, they like, oh, this is very nice, let me go there. This is a very nice sadhu. He lets me do whatever I like. He lets me eat meat and drink wine and have illicit sex. And he gives me some mystical mantra by which I can become God. Actually, we don't like these people. They're very sinful. They present themselves as holy people, but they're very simple. Better they don't pretend to be a holy man. Just be an ordinary person. Why lead others on the wrong path? For the sake of their own prestige, that's all. I will become famous as a holy man. Please don't be misled by these cheaters. It's a great fortune for Russia that this Hare Krishna movement has come here. In India, I'm mostly preaching in India. And I see the people are so much confused by all these cheating, bogus so-called swamis. Our preaching there is again and again presenting that this is Shastra, you have to follow Shastra. So here in Russia, we find all this nonsense is coming here too. So just try to understand this point. You can't invent anything. Religion is given by God. That is given in Shastra. Therefore we should follow Shastra. That is correct. Shastra means it has to be presented as it is according to parampara. Therefore books are the basis. We're distributing these books, we're reading these books. So that more sincere people will be attracted. Those who are not sincere, they will not appreciate. Of course, not many people are sincere. But even then, taking the books will purify them. Any other questions?
What does it mean to practice the positive process of devotional service?
It means to rise early in the morning, follow the morning program, chant your rounds nicely, and engage all day enthusiastically in Krishna service. Go on doing this throughout your life with firm faith in Guru and Krishna. Is this money mandir, is it? Is it?
Well, no. I don't know.
Geographical question?
Yeah.
Maybe not a technical question.
Related to the nectar of devotion. In the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami says that we should live in the district of Madhura. Mm. And if it is not possible physically, then mentally. Mm. Could you please describe some geography of Vrindavan so we could meditate?
Living in Mathura doesn't mean necessarily thinking that here is the police station, here's the railway station in Mathura. Actually, if you go to Mathura now, you'll find a big modern city, typical congested, dirty Indian city. There's a big army cantonment there, a big oil refinery. So what does living in Mathura mean? The mood of Mathura is service to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Even if we physically take our bodies to Mathura, if we don't have the mood of service to Krishna, then we have not entered into Mathura. And even if with these bodies we never enter Mathura, we don't ever enter into Mathura, but we develop the mood of service of Mathura, then we are actually living in Mathura. Just like we were singing this song, Sri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeva Jani Chintamani Tar Hoy Braja Bhume Bash. Whoever accepts that the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Vrindavan, he is living in Vrindavan.
What non-different from?
And West Bengal, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his pastimes, is non-different from Vrindavan. Then he's living in Vrindavan. By his pure devotion, he's living in Vrindavan. So going to Mathura is important. If we get the opportunity, and we should try to make the opportunity, we should go to Mayapur and Vrindavan, and visit the holy places, and chant Hare Krishna, and serve Krishna there. But the real important thing is to develop the mood of service of the residents of Vrindavan. And when I say the residents of Vrindavan, I don't mean the merchants in Loi Bazaar. Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, please come here, see my cloth. Resident of Vrindavan means Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Radharani, gopis, cowherd boys, blades of grass, they're all devotees, cows. Their mood is that we don't want anything but to serve Krishna. That is real living in Vrindavan. And by developing that mood, we become qualified to actually live in Vrindavan. We have to make Vrindavan all over the world. It means the mood of service to Krishna. Some people asked that to Prabhupada shortly before Prabhupada passed away. Prabhupada said, all my disciples, those who follow, that is the parampara system. Disciple hears from his guru, serves his guru, and in course of time, he also accepts disciples as a service to his guru. Spiritual master, he doesn't think, oh, now I've become such a great person. He thinks, simply, I am accepting disciples. It is another service to my guru. The ideal disciple, his only interest is to serve his spiritual master. He has no interest in doing anything outside of service to his spiritual master. So his accepting disciples is not for his own self-aggrandizement. But he does that just as another service in the mission of his spiritual master. He can use them in Krishna's service. That is called Ajagaravriti, means the mode of livelihood of a snake, python. Python doesn't make any endeavor to get food. But if an animal comes, he just sits in one place. If the animal comes, he'll eat it. In the same way, we are not going to make motor cars or microphones or all these things. Someone else is doing that. But they're there, we can use them in Krishna service. If there's no microphone, doesn't mean that we won't give a lecture. And if it's there, we'll use it. But actually, Prabhupada, he recommended that our devotees, they set up fun communities based on simple living and high thinking. Because that is more conducive for spiritual life. For preaching, we have to remain in the cities. But as more and more people join our movement, except especially householders, we would recommend them to set up such fun communities. Because the very nature of life in the modern cities is it tends to be degrading. Very complex lifestyle in which you have to work very hard in all kinds of unpalatable kinds of work, like working in the factory or something like that. Yeah. So it is an unnatural condition. Of course, the whole material world is an unnatural condition. But still, the simple agricultural life that is more conducive for God realization. Living in the country, breathing fresh air, taking fresh food, this tends to have an uplifting tendency, or at least to keep the consciousness a little clean, pure. Agriculturalists, they tend to be simple, pious people. Whereas factories, steel mills, then ships going on these things, then that's called ugra karma. It affects the consciousness and degrades it. So then after working in such horrible conditions with so much tension, then naturally a person, we can't think of anything more than drinking, smoking, and having sex. So the better way of life is simple living and high thinking, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. But for preaching, we may accept different things. But we ourselves, we're not going to make microphones and motor cars. Yeah. I don't know, there's so many different things. I've not studied them all, nor have interest to study them all. Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Give up all these other things and surrender to me. So that's good enough for me. I don't have time in my life to see every little crazy idea that someone dreams of. And even if I did have time, what would be the value? If Krishna, who is the supreme absolute truth, tells us to surrender to him only, then is that not the best advice? Let us just do that. Our life will be successful. Many, many people in the past have become purified and